have with us Dr. Volek. Did I say that correctly? Volek? Who has been serving the last 14 years in Bungalow Hospital in Africa. She'll give you more of those details. But that's the same hospital right now where Phil and Chelsea, who are part of our home missionaries, are serving. And she's with us. She's been staying in our missionary in residence or our parsonage for the last couple of months. And she's going to be sharing the word of the Lord and sharing what God is doing in Africa. So, Renee, would you come up and share with us? Lord bless you.
Okay, so every story has a setting, and the setting for Bungalow is in Gabon, Africa. Gabon is right where the equator crosses on the west side, and Bungalow is down in the very southern part of Gabon. It's almost near the border with the Republic of Congo. So if I had a pointer, I would show you, but I don't think the pointer works. And our story begins way back in the beginning of the Alliance, back in the 1800s. So A.B. Simpson sent the first missionaries to Congo. It's just 300 miles south of Bungalow. And that story did not start well. So the first missionaries, there were five of them. One of them died, three of them came home. And now, a lot of folks, when the story is not looking good, like to flip ahead. And so flipping ahead, the story gets a lot better. So now there are National Alliance churches, so that means they function without missionaries, and there's more than 1 million believers in 9 different countries in Africa. Praise God. So flipping back to the Bungalow story, the first missionaries came to Bungalow and stayed there in the 1930s, and they were Don and Dorothy Fairley. And so in the 1940s, they started a dispensary. So they used their own first aid supplies and started treating wounds and things like that at the hospital. And that's what it looked like. And the ground where the hospital is now looked like that. There were some houses and a school and things back in the 1940s and 50s. But much of the country still looks the same way that it did when the Fairleys were there. When you fly over it, it looks like you're flying over broccoli because it's the tropical rainforest. That is a bridge. And those are some elephants that I took a picture of just in January this year, just by the side of the road. But the hospital is a lot different than it looked for the Fairleys. So down in the right-hand corner over here, there's the church that they actually started building in the 1940s and 50s. And the biggest building that's up from that is the new eye clinic. And there's a building with a big green roof that's kind of in the middle, and that's the emergency department. And there's a building that is up from that, which is kind of an upside-down U, which is pediatrics. And there's a building with a bright white roof that's the HIV clinic. And down on the bottom here is the old eye clinic, which we turned into the COVID unit. So it looks a lot different. And this is the characters, some of the characters of our current story. So we took this picture at Christmas, and so not everybody is there. So Phil and Chelsea they arrived at Bungalow the same day that I was leaving, and so we passed each other on the road. And so we are really excited to have them there. And there is another family of 6 who are arriving in September. I'm going back in August. And so the team has really grown quite a lot recently. We're really excited about that. We have about 16 kids now. We're getting a teacher in August as well. And so we are really excited. It's going to help us to help us quite a lot. In addition to this part of the cast of characters, normally we have about 75 to 100 visitors a year. And that, we're still not having the visitors, but that's a normal part of our cast of characters. And then we have about nearly 100 people who work at the hospital. So they are also part of our cast of characters. Okay, so some of the background information for our story. So normally each year at Bungalow, there are 30 to 40,000 people that come for outpatient consultations at Bungalow. And those people get to hear the good news when they come. So before their visit, they meet with the chaplains, and the chaplains tell them the good news. And they don't just come by themselves. They usually come with a family member. And so it's probably twice that many people who get to hear. Along with that, there's usually more than 1,000 people that decide to follow Jesus. There's, we do about 2/3 of the cataract surgery for the country. So that means that there's people who come to the hospital that couldn't see and they leave their canes behind because they don't need them anymore. We do about 1,600 surgeries a year, and we do about 700 to 800 deliveries a year, and for the past several years, we've been doing like all of the cesareans for a two-province area. So what I get to see, and one of the things that it's just amazing, like, and I want to be able to share with people about, is that people, like blind people get to see, and people who couldn't walk out. And the good news is getting preached to the poor, and I get to treat leprosy. And like, think about that. There's Bible verses that are just like that. And it's so exciting. Okay, so when you first get there, you come up to the parking lot, and the first building that you see is internal medicine, where the adult patients are hospitalized, and I work a lot in internal medicine. And then this is the outpatient area, and so this is where the patients go in the morning when they meet with the chaplains and hear the gospel in the morning. And so in inpatient medicine, we treat all different kinds of problems there. But so there's heart disease and diabetes, and but the thing that we treat most in inpatient medicine is tuberculosis. So tuberculosis, before COVID, was the infectious disease that killed the most people in the world every year. So 1.6 million people is more than HIV and malaria combined. So the ladies in this picture either have tuberculosis or they're the family members of the people with tuberculosis. In pediatrics, the thing that we treat the most of is malaria. And malaria kills one child every minute of every day. And it's mostly kids in sub-Saharan Africa where we are. So the little guy in this picture, his name is the French version of Noah. And when he came to the hospital, he'd already been in a coma for several days. And when that happens, as a doctor, I can give people malaria medicine, but I can't fix brain injury. And so you can see he's awake, and he left the hospital normal. Praise God. So that wasn't me. So, yeah, amen. Because we deliver a lot of babies, we also take care of a lot of premature babies. And the little girl in this picture was born at about 1.5 pounds, and she is now 15 months old. And she also didn't catch HIV from her mom. And so, again, praise God. And so with HIV care, that's another thing that we do quite a bit of. We have enrolled more than 1,000 patients over the course of the years. One thing that is noteworthy is that where we are in Africa, it's mostly a disease for women, and it's not necessarily like that here. So 70% of our patients are women. One thing that doctors had to actually do a study to show, which makes a lot of sense when you think about it, is that children born to women with HIV have a better chance of making it to age 5 if their mothers are under treatment and are healthy, because their mothers are alive. And so we've done a good job of making sure that the children don't catch it from their moms, and like this little guy, he didn't catch it from his mom, but you can see he still doesn't look like he's doing really well. His clothes aren't clean, his hair isn't nice and shiny, and so we realized that even though he didn't catch it from his mom, she wasn't on treatment and she was not doing well at all. And so now she is back on treatment and they're both doing well. Ooh, let's try to go back. So COVID happened. And we had to do a bunch of things because of that. So we don't have running water to wash hands in every patient room. And so when people entered the hospital, we had a bucket with a spigot. And we started doing, started checking temperatures when people came in. And I had to teach the nurses how to use the personal protective equipment. So we had this personal protective equipment that was left over from a donation from Samaritan's Purse from back in 2015 when there was concern that Ebola might come. And what we did was we watched a video about how to put it on and take it off. And taking it off is really the most important part, because it's then that you might touch the germs. So after they had it on, I pretended to cough and splattered them with green paint. And so the one guy who has it halfway off there, he was the only guy that did it perfectly. And everybody else got some in their hair, some on them, and so everybody learned how to do it by watching each other and seeing the mistakes. And so I was really proud of them, because when COVID actually did come last summer in June, July, and August, there were a bunch of other nurses in the hospital, so in surgery and other parts of the hospital, and even some of the other doctors that got COVID, but none of these nurses in the actual COVID treatment unit taking care of the COVID patients got it. So one of the things that's really important that we do is we train Christian medical professionals who are going to stay there in Africa. So we train general surgeons, eye surgeons, nurses, nurse anesthetists, nurse midwives, and soon we'll be training primary care medical doctors. So if you know Phil and Chelsea, Chelsea is training the nurses, Phil is training nurse anesthetists. In this picture we have Daniela. So she was one of the nursing students, and she stayed, and she is now a nurse midwife. And it's so important to train professionals who are going to stay there. They know their own culture, and they are from there, and they can take care of the patients. They can share with Jesus better with people in their own culture than we can. So there is Jeff teaching the anesthesia students, just like Phil is doing now. There's Wendy teaching the eye surgeons. PACS is for the Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons. And that is something that actually started at Bangalow back in the 90s. And the doctors in this photo are from Angola, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Madagascar, and the one in the middle is from Gabon, and he is now our assistant medical director. So they come from all over Africa. They're already doctors, but they, over the course of 5 years, learn everything they need to know about general surgery. And so they can go back to where they're from and be a fully trained general surgeon. So in Africa, there's a lot of times that someone might die because there just isn't general surgery available, like to do a hernia surgery or a cesarean surgery. So nobody dies here because of need for a hernia surgery. And so already 117 people have graduated from this program. It exists now in 8 different countries. There's 17 different programs. It's not just general surgery. There's orthopedics. And the doctors from this program are now in all those orange countries. And so if you know some things about some of those orange countries, some of those are places that people like me and Phil and Chelsea can't go. But people who are from there can stay there. And they know the culture, they know the language. And so the PACS program is something that is really important to train doctors who can go back to where they're from as fully trained surgeons that can help people both physically with their surgical problems, but also they can lead them to Jesus. So another part of the story that's not just at the medical part of the story, it's a different chapter, is that I also teach Sunday school. And so we usually have 150 to 180 kids each week. And so this is just we usually divide them up into 3 classes. So one is the preschooler class, one is the class that is like first, second, kindergarten, first and second grade, another is like third, fourth, and fifth, or maybe sixth grade. So this is just like the first and second grade kind of class. So oftentimes there's 100 kids just in this class. So they're doing a coloring sheet. And they're getting Operation Christmas Child gifts. So if you've heard about Operation Christmas Child, we've had the gifts from Operation Christmas Child. And so in the one picture there is one of the perks about having Sunday school around a hospital is that when we do skits, we can use patient gowns and rolled bandages and receiving blankets. And so there are some perks. So back to the unfinished stories. One unfinished story is the story of Mamadou. So Mamadou is the tall guy who's in the dark colored shirt. And he has extensively drug-resistant tuberculosis. So I was saying that tuberculosis is the infectious disease that kills the most people every year. And he doesn't have just regular tuberculosis that takes 6 months to treat, or multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis that takes at least 9 months to treat. He has extensively drug-resistant tuberculosis that takes at least 18 months to treat. And he is not like your regular Gabonese guy. He is his family's originally from up where Phil and Chelsea used to be. And so he's not from the majority religion in Gabon. And so he stayed with us in the hospital he had a treatment for regular tuberculosis and was with us in the hospital for 2 months. And in this picture, there's a cake because we're celebrating that he's just finished 4 months with us in the hospital for the intensive phase of the treatment for extensively drug-resistant tuberculosis. And so he's been with us, he's about a year into this treatment now for the extensively drug-resistant tuberculosis. So his story is not finished. We don't know how he's going to do, if he'll win with the treatment for the tuberculosis or if the tuberculosis will win, but we also don't know that he's been with us in the hospital for 2 months for the first round of treatment for tuberculosis and 4 months and every month since then. And he's heard the good news. So we're praying that God gives him dreams, and so the story isn't finished. So I know that this verse usually applies to people that are already believers, that the Holy Spirit has started a good work in them, but I'm praying that something has started him that in him that is carried on to completion. So this is Christine, and Christine and her husband came to Bangalore because her husband was one of the surgical residents. So her husband, Jean-Claude, and Christine, they're from a very difficult area in the northeast corner of the Democratic Republic of Congo. And so there has been civil war, there's been a lot of other things up where they are from. It is very remote. And so she is a general doctor. And so she got to work with me during the time that Jean-Claude was there. And general doctors in a lot of Africa have usually about 6 months of kind of an informal training after medical school. So it's not like America, where a family physician or an internal medicine doctor, a pediatrician, has 3 years of training after medical school. It's much less formal and usually about 6 months. But Christine and I worked together. She learned lots of things. They went back to Congo. And in 2013, I went to visit them, which is when this picture was taken. And I thought, okay, it's Congo. I speak French. I'll help them a lot. And there had actually been some kind of epidemic there before I went. And Christine had hospitalized 120 children by herself right before I got there. What I saw when I got there was that even though it was Congo, they didn't speak French there. They spoke Swahili, Lingala, and Kibudu. And Christine could switch back and forth between all those languages, and she would just like automatically know which one to address somebody in, whether it was by their village, by their name. And the people would look at her, and when she said, oh, this is what your problem is, and this is what you need to do, they would say, oh, okay, thank you. And if I had said the same thing, they would have been a little bit skeptical because, like, I am not really one of them. And what I could see was that Christine was using all the things that she had learned just from working with me and observing them at Bangalore. And so I'm thinking, oh, what we need to do is we need to train primary care doctors like Christine, who are going back to all these places where they can use them and they can tell other people about Jesus in their own place. So finally, this year, we will have the primary care training. And Bintu will be the first doctor. She is from Cameroon. And so I'm so excited about this because it's something that has been in the works for quite a while. And we even had another doctor lined up to come this year who couldn't come. And so it's really exciting. And we still have a little ways to go with getting authorizations and finishing formalities and things, but it is really exciting that we are finally able to do this after so long. And so our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can reach the gospel in the regions beyond you, so that people like Christine and Bintu can go to regions way beyond where I can go and where the other folks at Bangalore can go. So pray for us at Bangalore, and so pray for these unfinished stories. So for people like Mamadou, and all there's people who come, they all have their unfinished stories. And pray for the primary care training program that is just starting this year, and for the things that we need to do before we start later in the year. Pray for a steady supply of affordable medicines. We've had a lot of problems getting medicines, and it hasn't gotten any easier this year with COVID. Pray for the hospital while I'm gone. The other main doctor who takes care of the adult patients is Dr. Wayne Sprunk. He's from Plattsburgh, New York, so from also here in the district with Chelsea and Phil and I. and he has been gone for May and the first part of June. So he has four children, and three of them graduated, so two from high school and one from college. And so he'll be back in another couple weeks, but it's very difficult for the hospital when both Wayne, Dr. Wayne, and his wife Suzanne, and I are gone at the same time. And so praying is one of the things that you can do that is the very most important thing. And so other things that you can do, you can remember to pray back out by the Welcome Center. I put some prayer cards to help you to remember to pray, so you could take one of those. There is a sign-up sheet to for my monthly email prayer letter, so you could sign up for that. And then there's some other things that you could give to the Alliance that helps people like Phil and Chelsea and me to stay at Bungalow. And there's other things that you can give to, like for HIV care or for the Benevolent Fund or other things like that as well. So thank you, and thank you very much.
Here for just a moment. We're going to pray. We want to pray for you. Yeah, just some of the things. For those of you that are new to our church or the Alliance, and to realize and understand our name, we are Syracuse Alliance Church, and the Alliance stands for the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And we, a few weeks ago, I mentioned in our study in Acts that no missionary has ever gone overseas asking, "Will I be safe? Is it going to be safe there?" We've all kind of been woken up with a pandemic that has hit home. When Ebola hit a few years ago, it never really hit every single one of us like COVID has. And then I'm listening to you, Renee, and you live with COVID. That's just another thing. You had tuberculosis. You deal with tuberculosis, with HIV, with malaria on a daily basis. And we want, I was thinking when I opened up in the scriptures right before the service, I opened up the Psalms and I was thinking, Lord, I really would love to have a verse for the call to worship. I opened Psalm 41 and I thought, no, that really doesn't fit. And I just, I opened up there and it says, "Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desire of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness." And even as I was listening, I'm thinking, yeah, but this is really talking about us, the ones who are ministering. It's kind of a little self, but I thought, but this is really the prayer we should be praying for Renee and for our missionaries, because they are the ones that are regarding the weak. But then I thought for all of us, I was reminded of Isaiah 58 that talks about fasting and prayer. And the Lord says in Isaiah 58, talking about fasting and, what is fasting really supposed to be? Is it just a time to pray? Is it just a time to not eat? Is it just a time to kind of, be alone with God? And he says, your fasting ends in quarreling. And you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fasting I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed or for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that the day? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is it not this kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and do not turn away your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am," or "Here am I." So we want to pray for Renee, for protection, for all what she's doing. We want to pray for us in the Alliance, Syracuse Alliance Church, as well as the churches around the country, to continue to give faithfully to the Great Commission Fund, so that she can go and continue to do that work. And then we want to pray that the work and the testimony that she has shared inspires us, because there are poor and there are hurting and there are hungry right here where we live, right? And I also want to mention, as I listen, one of the things I really anticipated when I was coming to Syracuse Alliance, knowing the huge mission support that our church gives, I thought, I'm going to see if I can make it kind of my goal every year to go to one of our mission fields and see, visit one of our missionaries. And as I'm listening, I'm just thinking, I would love to go and visit Bungalow Hospital. Right, I'd love to go there. So once this, you know, once travel is safer and we have a group that's ready to go, whether it's there or we, you know, we have missionaries all over the world, but especially those that we support. Wouldn't it be great to take a team and go and visit and be there and pray with them and be on site? So that's something to be praying for as well. So Renee, I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask if you would pray for us, but would you pray in French? Because again, we want to be reminded that we are a diverse people of many languages, many tongues, many tribes. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Renee, for Chelsea, for Phil, and for all of the workers that go and serve you by loving and caring for some of the most needy and hurting. And Lord, sometimes I know from my own experience, some of those needy and hurting people have more joy than we do. But there's still the concern. We pray for Mamadou, Lord. We pray that it be first a work of healing. Because even you said when you healed the paralytic, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? And you forgave his sins first. You gave him eternal life. Then you restored his ability to walk. We pray, Father, whichever order has to happen, it's okay. You are sovereign. You know best. But we pray for both of those to occur in his life. And we pray, Father, for more testimonies and stories of people coming to faith and also of people being healed. We pray Psalm 41 over Renee and her team that you would guard them and protect them from illness, protect them from need and from want, and protect them from danger. We love you, Father, and we thank you. And we pray also that their example would inspire us to open our eyes, to lift up our eyes and see those that are right here around us. And the hurting, Father, the needy, they're not just the ones that are standing under an overpass or on a corner with a cardboard sign. They can be our neighbors who may have a house and a car and a job, but are just broken and longing for hope. So give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Be led by your Spirit. On our prayer walks, Lord, that we do twice a month, we pray in this, we're doing this Tuesday, lead us to those people. Give us women at the well divine appointments and encounters, that when we leave after having crossed their path, they will be born again, they'll be transformed, they'll be renewed. And if anything, if not that, at least that it will be like Ezekiel, that they will know that they were in your presence, that they had encountered a child of God, and they would draw closer to you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Renee, will you pray for us?
Seigneur Dieu, merci pour le moment ensemble ce matin. Merci pour l'église ici à Syracuse. Et Seigneur, je prie que ils seront un lumière pour toi ici dans la communauté, et qu'ils seront un lumière, et ils donnent la joie, et ils sont un témoignage pour toute la communauté. Et quand ils font quand ils marchent dans la route en train de prier, que tout le monde est au courant que c'est pour toi, et tout le monde vient ici et il voit que oh, c'est pour toi ici. Et je prie qu'il y a les gens ici qui viennent même au bungalow et qu'il y a le bon rapport entre nous et qu'ils sont le bon soutien même pour Phil et Chelsea et et merci pour tout le soutien pour les missionnaires pendant des années et des années. Et merci pour l'Église. Et je prie que ça continue d'être le meilleur pour la communauté depuis ici. Amen.
Amen. Renee, I understand you're going to be teaching Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
So Renee will be teaching and sharing in Sunday school. So we encourage all of you, and maybe some of you who are not normally Sunday school attenders, you might want to come by and listen to some more of what Renee has to share. Thank you, Renee. Now, Timothy is going to lead us in a closing song.